welcome to Recurring Nightmares, Episode 3, Uncle Sam versus the Bay. And if this is your first episode, or maybe just as a reminder, what we do on this show is we do a double feature of horror film reviews every month. Two films from different eras exploring a theme. This month's theme, since it's 4th of July, like right as you're probably listening to this, is 2 4th of July themed horror movies, which we'll get to in a little bit. But first, we're going to do our usual, what we've been watching. And Chris?
Yeah.
Why don't you give me a rundown of what you've been up to on, besides watching these two classic horror films?
Sure, because we're going to get to those classic horror films shortly. I watched a not-so-classic, a more recent film, The Wretched.
I'm
not sure if you talked about this last time or not, but
I don't know.
It's the film that had been making headlines as the number one film at the box office, which evidently turned out to be a lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So evidently, the studio that puts out The Wretched was the only one actually reporting numbers.
Okay.
Everybody else had kind of stopped, even though there were films still playing. So, when the box office reports came out, this studio was the only one reporting anything, so they were at the top.
Yeah.
There were other films out there.
Is that, I don't know if I'd say that's a lie.
Well, there were other films out there that when they went back and, like, Universal and they started reporting, like, it came out that, like, The Wretched was not the number one movie, but...
But it did become a bit of a drive-in hit, and I think it is, like, if you have a drive-in by you, there's a good chance it's playing there.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm trying to think of like how best to describe it. This kid goes off to live with his dad, who runs a marina out somewhere. And, next door, some weird shit's going on. Turns out there's like this witch or something that has come back and taken over the body of his neighbors. I don't know. It's like a kid horror film type thing. There's a couple good scenes. It's fine. I've forgotten most of it.
Honestly. I've seen it. I was telling you about it before I watched it. And, I had heard some really positive buzz. And when I watched it, I was like, it's okay. It's fine. Yeah. Like, it's not. Honestly, I'd be surprised if it was in my top 10 horror by the end of the year, but. Who knows? I mean, this year anything's up for grabs, I guess. But
yeah, it's going to be a weak year just because of releases out there. So maybe it does slip in top 10 horror, but it's perfectly fine, as you said. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's mostly kind of forgettable. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the plot points. There's not like any particularly nasty like or scary scenes. There's a couple good creepy scenes.
The creature looks good because it's kind of like a hidden creature feature type movie.
Yeah,
it looks cool, but I don't know. It's just
and there's a couple cool things in it. Like it does set it up like maybe there's going to be a sequel, which
who knows? Maybe
interesting, but it's fine. Like if you're looking for something new to watch, it's one of them. It's available on demand. You could do worse.
Agreed.
What else have been up to? My kids and my wife and I, we occasionally we'll do like a family movie night. We did that recently and, I picked a movie that I had not seen in quite some time. 10 Things I Hate About You, which is, it's a teenage romantic comedy. Heath Ledger, Julia Stiles, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Pretty big cast.
That's like based on like a Shakespeare play. Is that
the one? It's based off Taming of the Shrew by Shakespeare. movie does not age particularly well. It's still fun. Like, I still enjoy the performances. Ledger's great in it. I think, like, I remember why I kind of briefly fell in love with Julia Stiles from this movie. But it's not, like, it does not hold up in today's.
Oh, you're saying fight words for some people, I'm sure. I've never seen it. I know a lot of people like it, though.
I said, like, if you look at, like, the behavior of, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is, he's not the main character, but he is kind of the driving character. Like, his whole intention here is he is trying to set up Heath Ledger's bad boy with Julia Stiles' is like kind of loner character because he wants to get with her sister. And like, he's offering money up, and like, there's like a whole bunch of like weird shit. That's like, you would just look at it like today. It's like, all right, maybe this was like cute 20 years ago, but like now it's just like, this is kind of like predatory behavior by Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character. So,
so many movies from even 10 years ago, probably, we get canceled nowadays.
Yeah. I still think there's something there, but like, just watching it, like, it's very cringy now. And like, my kids are like, it's different. Like, I think I would still find it cringy even if I wasn't watching it with them, but like, they were like, ooh, like, that's not right. Like, like, in the middle of the film, like, no, that's bad. Like, that's definitely bad. Don't do that. But still good performances. Ultimately, I do like I like the two leads, Ledger and Stiles, in it, and their relationship is fun to kind of explore. But I brought it up here, so I searched for 10 Things I Hate About You to kind of get like, hey, who were the names of everybody in it? They made a movie, like a TV series that ran for 2 seasons on, like, I don't know, ABC Family, about the sisters, and they got Larry Miller, who was the dad in the movie, to be the dad of these girls in this TV show. Like, that's fucking weird. And then I watched a pair of TV shows. Well, I'm in the middle of watching a pair of TV shows.
Okay.
I started Community, which is a half-hour sitcom. It seems like a lot of people talk that one up.
Oh, yeah.
I did not watch it at the time it was on air. Joel McHale, Ken Jeong, Donald Glover, Chevy Chase is in it. It's good. Like, it took me a little while. Like, I was like, you know, the main character is Joel McHale. Like, he's kind of an asshole, like, at least at the beginning. And he bands up with this band of misfits, like, you know, Donald Glover, Chevy Chase, Yvette Nicole Brown, like, all of them. And, you know, it's like they're teaching him, like, how to not be a shit bag. And some of it's funny. It took a little while for it to get moving. And I was like, all right, now I'm, like, into it. Now it's, like, it's kind of it's easy for me to throw a sitcom on while I'm working.
Yeah,
oh, because you don't have to pay background. A lot of attention to it, but I'm finding it enjoyable. You know, it seems like a lot of the critical talk about it and the fan talk about it was spot on, pretty good.
I have not watched that show other than the pilot back whenever that aired,
2009.
Yeah, so. I remember Chevy Chase was in it in the pilot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I found this with a lot of, sitcoms that I've been testing out over this period when I'm sitting at my desk at home a lot, is that a lot of the pilots aren't good. A lot of, like, the first 6 or 7 episodes of comedy, like, sitcoms aren't necessarily great. It takes a little while.
It takes a while to... like, for them to feel out the characters, and for you too, like, you don't know them. But I'm going through the same thing myself with Parks and Rec, which we got through the first season and like part of the second season, and then we kind of like fell off. And then a couple nights ago, my girlfriend's like, hey, we haven't watched, you know, Parks and Rec in a while, let's watch it. And started watching again, and it clicked. Like, Ron Swanson, the the guy
he runs the rec department. Like,
yeah, like played by Nick Offerman. Oh my god, is the guy funny on that show? I mean, everyone's funny. I'm really
great.
Digging that show. Yeah,
yeah, it's I like it a lot. I think that that's a 7-season show. Well,
some of them are long though. Season 2 is like 20 something episodes.
Yeah, the 7th season is weird. I think it like overstayed its welcome maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah.
It's fun. That's a fun show.
I'm enjoying it. Enjoying the hell out of it. What's the other thing, the other show you were watching?
The other show I'm watching is it's a show called Miss Sherlock. It is from HBO Asia. It is a Sherlock Holmes kind of inspired weekly show. There's only 8 episodes, and it only ran for 1 season. But it's pretty good. The lady who plays Sherlock, Yuko Takaguchi, she's fucking awesome. Like, just perfectly aloof, like no social skills whatsoever. And then, of course, like, you know, she has like her Watson foil, who is like super nice and is always kind of like following behind, apologizing for her. It's interesting because, one, I don't know a ton about like Japanese culture in general, so there's like a lot of that going on. Like, you're learning things, and that's kind of interesting. But just like as a Sherlock Holmes like TV show, it's pretty fucking good. It's a shame that like it didn't get a second season, because I think the lady who plays Sherlock, she got pregnant, and they didn't bring it back after that. So, but I'm going through that. That is, I have it through like HBO on Hulu. It is all subtitled, so there's that. But I think if you enjoy Sherlock Holmes type stuff, this is one of the better adaptations of it.
Never got into it. I mean, you know, I think I've read some Sherlock Holmes when I was a kid, and I liked it, but I've never. There's like a million different shows and movies and games all around Sherlock, and it just I always pass me by.
this one, it's more in the vein of like the BBC Sherlock or Elementary, which is the you know, long running procedural on, I think, NBC. It's set in modern day Japan, so it's not like old timey, okay. Like, you know, the hat and the pipe. So it's, you know, it's relatable from that front, but it's, you know, interesting mysteries where, you know, she's going around, she's like the super detective. So, it's been fun to kind of just like sit there and watch through these mysteries.
You said it's HBO Asia.
Yeah. It's part of HBO Asia, which I didn't know I had, but evidently I do.
So. It's just part of the HBO package then?
Yeah. It's like if I go to HBO and I search, it's there. It's available.
Okay.
There's no HBO Asia selection, but when like the show boots up, it says like HBO Asia original.
Okay, cool.
What have you been watching?
You know what? We'll continue with an Asian theme here. So one thing I've been watching, and this could come as no surprise to you, is The Last Drive-In on Shudder.
Yeah.
Which just wrapped up its second season. I thought, there were some frustrating selections from Joe Bob and some really inspired selections. And I think I might have talked a bit about that last time. Some interesting, like... He really seemed to be going for like these low budget gems to show that like anybody can make a movie.
Right.
And there was the disappointment for me of not getting Mandy on there, which, I mean, based on comments he made prior to the season, I thought was coming.
So we all know you love Mandy.
Yeah.
What is your desire to have it on The Last Drive-In? Is it to just see what he digs into and like hear his commentary on it or see what interviews you might get. Okay.
Yeah. And just, you know, it's kind of there's that angle, and it's also just kind of like putting two of your favorite things together, like you know, peanut butter and jelly. And of course, when this show airs, it's like a live event on Friday night. I mean, it's not, it's pre-recorded, but they make it feel like a live show, right. And there's a lot of participation from the horror community on Twitter, and so I think it would be, you know, fun to watch that movie with an internet, you know, group, like everyone, like, you know, doing memes and jokes and whatever. Like, I don't know, I've seen the movie like a million times now. I think it'd be cool to see it in a different way or whatever like that.
Yeah, no, like, I can see that. Got it.
But a highlight for the season for me was a film I almost didn't stay up to watch because it was the second film of the night. I had never heard of it. And he so often, like, this happens all the time. He loves foreign horror films, and he, like, will often choose the foreign horror film as, like, a second film for the night after you got a couple beers in you, you maybe smoking some weed, and you're like, I don't want to read right now. I'm barely staying up to watch this, you know? And so, like, I almost turned it off, and I'm happy I didn't because the film is called Tetsuo the Iron Man. And it's a 1989 Japanese cyberpunk horror film. The film itself is 64 minutes long, so it's like really short. Yeah. And so even with this episode hosted by Joe Bob, it was only about 94 minutes all said and done. And it was done, like, they were done that week by like 11:50 at night. Whereas, like, the final episode of the season went till like fucking 2 a.m. and I called in sick the next day because I actually stayed up for that. But Tetsuo the Iron Man, like, I don't even know how to describe it because it's so fucking weird and fucked up. But basically, it's about a guy that's like gets infected with metal and slowly starts turning into a like metal person. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to.
No, I get it. That makes sense. I mean, to a point, right?
Like, you know, there's not much of a plot to it. You know, it's kind of like body horror, and you know, Joe Bob kind of explained what the intention, like what the message was behind it at the end from the director, which is basically that, you know, it's the idea of a lot of like sci-fi or horror films that, you know, technology is going to destroy us. But, you know, the director's twist on that is that we would kind of, like, get off on it at the same time while it's happening and enjoy it, which the character in this does. Like, he eventually embraces the fact that his, like, he's turning into this metal fucking monster. It's low budget. It's black and white. It's the, like, old aspect ratio where it's kind of like a square box in the middle of your screen. Yep. Like, all kind of strikes against it, I guess, for me. But, like, it's insanely visually inventive. Like, it's just constantly showing you things where you're like, what the fuck am I looking at? I remember when I was watching it, I was showing it, like, clips to you. Like, there's a part where, like, he gets a drill penis that comes through a fucking table where he's sitting at. Just kind of like insane stuff like that. And I thought it had a cool, like a really cool, like ending and final shot. Like it was just really, I don't know, like kind of the thing that like Joe Bob was going for all season. Like, you know, you don't need anything. You could do it yourself and it could be just as great and artistic as any other movie that's out there. So that is on Shudder if anyone is interested in seeing it. My favorite tweet that I saw about it was from Cargill on Twitter. He said, like, Tetsuo was that movie in the 90s that you could whip out on VHS to show your friend who thought they had seen everything. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a good description of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's still, like, that's still something you could probably do. Like,
absolutely. Like, that's how I felt watching it. I was like, I've seen everything. I have not seen this. All right, so some other stuff I watched. I watched, like I said, I think I have all horror here, yep. And a lot of them are new horror films, so maybe some stuff you might be interested in, Chris, or listeners here. Film called Becky. Have you heard of this?
I have.
Yeah.
It's Kevin James.
Kevin James. So it's Kevin James doing the Patrick Stewart thing, playing a Nazi. I thought Becky is really fun. Like the premise of it is like these fucking Nazi prisoner dudes like fucking break out of prison and they show up at this family's house. They're looking for something that they put in the house, like this key. And, you know, the craziness ensues from there. And I thought the Becky was really fun, really entertaining movie, well worth the rental. But the whole, like, they're looking for a key thing is really frustrating because it's a MacGuffin. Like, it's never explained. And, like,
I think there's no point to the key. Like, it's,
I mean, there's a point, but we never know what it is. And you know, sometimes that could work just fine in a movie, but like, it, this is one of the most egregious examples of a MacGuffin I've ever seen, because there becomes a character who cares about the MacGuffin, but they also don't know what the point of getting this key is, and it's like, so why do they? I don't know. If you see the movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll have the same complaint as me at the end. But again, really entertaining. It's, you know, kind of like Green Room, but also kind of like Home Alone, because like the one daughter in the family of this house, like she kind of like takes on these guys and she starts setting up traps and shit. And so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looked fun. I wasn't sure from the trailer if it was like, I don't know if they were like, oh, maybe Becky is like the, maybe she's a sadistic crazy person too.
No, she's like angry to begin with when they show up. So she has like, she's already pissed off, you know what I mean? And okay. So they just like ignite her. You know, she's an angry teenager, you know, and so right. they ignite like her rage. It's fun. Like I'm not gonna say more than I've said. I'd just say if you're bored one night and you want to see like a fun horror movie, like can't go wrong with it. But I do think you will have the same disappointment that I did.
Okay.
Another horror movie I saw, and I don't believe I talked about this last time. I think I saw it like right after we recorded last time. Is a film called The Lodge. Yes. I don't know if you haven't seen this yet, have you?
No, it was one I wanted to see. There, like, I saw the trailers for it, and then it was like, oh, it's, you know, it's coming out in theaters, and I was looking forward to it, and then it never kind of showed up.
People's reactions seem split on The Lodge. Like, some people love it, some people hate it. I fall firmly into the camp of I thought it was the best horror movie I've seen so far this year.
Nice.
It's just super bleak, super disturbing. The setup is like these kids end up having to spend a weekend with their father's new girlfriend. And it's shortly after their mother just died. So these kids are like not wanting to hang out with this lady, and they're stuck in this lodge with her in the middle of the woods in winter while the dad goes and does business.
Yeah, so it's like he leaves, right? Like he's not there. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's from the people who made Goodnight Mommy, so that might give you some sort of clue as to what we're dealing with here. But like, yeah, this thing is, again, I've seen a lot of people hate it. I thought it was great. Like I was like genuinely disturbed by where it went, and like some of the stuff that happened at the end, again, just disturbing. And yeah, I don't want to say much more except that I thought it was great, and you might see it in an upcoming episode here. And just small note, it was a surprise to me, and I was kind of blown away that my very first crush, Alicia Silverstone, is in the film. So I was like, damn, I didn't even know that. So that was cool.
Nice.
What else? Briefly, the film Three from Hell, which I know you've seen. We reviewed it on Movie Dudes.
We did.
You hated it.
Yep.
I was okay on it. I was so. I keep catching it on Shudder. You know how, like, when you load Shudder, it does the Shudder TV thing?
The live TV, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like, kind of like what I said when we reviewed it, is it's kind of like a hangout horror movie. Like, it's just these fucking despicable people hanging out. And it's grown on me. It'd be like, you know, I don't think I've watched it all the way through again, but I keep catching like huge chunks of it. And like, it's nowhere near as good as The Devil's Rejects, but I would place it above House of a Thousand Corpses, which I know for some people is not saying much, but I don't know, man. I feel like after whatever that stupid 31 movie he did, this was like a little bit of a step back in the right direction. And like, I don't know. It's one, again, every time I catch it on Shudder, I'm like, I guess I'm watching this. I can't explain it really. Like I can't, I think I said this when we reviewed it. Like, I don't know. I can't defend the movie, but for some reason I like it.
Whatever.
Yeah. Another horror movie I saw I didn't like is called Come to Daddy. This is one, I wouldn't say this is really a horror film. It ends up being more like of a crime film with some like, you know, grisly deaths and stuff in it. But it's the one with Elijah Wood looking all weird with his like mustache and shit. And the premise is like Elijah Wood is like, he gets summoned by this dad that he hasn't seen in fucking like 20 years. And weird shit happens when he gets there. I don't want to like ruin it for people that haven't seen it. Other than say like, I won't, again, like it becomes like a crime film. I just thought that the thing was so offbeat that like, it was hard for me to get into the story. And by the end, I was just like, I don't know. It didn't quite work for me, and it's already kind of fading. So I know some people really did like it. I think our friend Rachel like recommended it to me at some point. And Rachel, if you're listening, I'm sorry to say, Come to Daddy is one of the duds for me this year. I didn't hate it, but yeah. And one last one, and another one that has been called a horror film. In fact, Joe Bob reviewed it. I forgot for what publication, but it was like a written review. It's a film called Swallow, and he said it's not just a horror film; it's a great horror film. And I watched the trailer.
This is one I wanted to see.
Yeah. Okay. I watched the trailer, and I was intrigued by it. Like the premise is like this lady like kind of has the perfect life. She's like married to this rich guy, but she seems unhappy because she's got like nothing to do all day. She's just like sitting in this bomb ass house on the ocean. And, you know, like every kind of like she doesn't have any like work or anything to do, but it feels like everything is controlled for her. And then she gets pregnant, and I think, you know, the idea is like she sees her life slipping away and she's getting stuck into this life that maybe she didn't want. And then she starts swallowing weird things. I think I'll kind of leave it at that. Other than that, I don't agree with Joe Bob that it's a horror film. And it actually goes towards like pretty heavy drama stuff near the end. Like, there's moments along the way where you're like, oh, this could go really into that horror direction. Like, you really, it has the elements, and it has, like, hints of really crazy shit might be about to happen.
It just never hits there.
Yeah, and it's one I'd love to have a spoiler discussion on, but again, like, in my opinion, like, I wouldn't pick it as a movie for the show because it's not horror, in my opinion, but I liked it. I liked it enough. You know, if you ever see it, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts or whatever. But
I mean, the idea of somebody like swallowing like harmful things.
Yeah, like, you know, I should have mentioned it's like marbles and it increases like nails, like more and more like keeps needles. Escalating. Yeah.
So like that idea kind of intrigued me. Like, you know, what's the escalation process? So I might be one I sit down and watch. It was something that kind of intrigued me. So.
And then, you know, and in fact, like, there's a thing they could have done at the very, very end, like the last scene that would have, like, if they went the direction I was fully expecting, I would have said, this is horror. And the interesting thing is, I'd be interested to talk to you about it when you see it. Maybe what I thought did happen, but it is not shown on camera.
Okay.
Put it that way. But if what I thought was going to happen happened on camera, this would be a pretty hard horror movie at the end. It's hard to talk around, but you know, come maybe next month if you've seen it, we'll discuss it a little more.
Give it a go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this, Chris.
What?
We are here with our 4th of July month on Recurring Nightmares. And I'm going to approach this in the order that they came out. So our first film is Uncle Sam from 1996, I believe.
Yep.
Just when you thought it was safe to stand up and salute the flag, Uncle Sam is back with a vengeance.
A Kuwaiti military unit discovered a mass grave in the desert. They positively identified the body.
Jody, stay away from the coffin.
You never fought for your country. You just kill for the love of killing.
Now, Uncle Sam has a contract on America. Draft dodgers, watch out.
Someone's been killed.
Tax cheaters, beware.
Somebody help!
No one will ever burn another flag. Nobody will ever desecrate another grave. And no politician will ever tell another lie. And the July 4th weekend will never be the same again.
This is a straight-to-video horror film, like kind of slasher about an Uncle Sam killing people. We'll get into the details in a minute. But this is directed by William Lustig, who he did Maniac and the Maniac Cop series. So this is like, although it was a straight-to-video horror film, like this is like a real horror director that made this. More importantly, I would say in a way, it was written by Larry Cohen, who was like a kind of beloved like B-film director and writer who died last year. He directed Cue the Winged Serpent, which if you haven't seen, check it out. I think it's on Shudder. He directed The Stuff, which I think is on Amazon Prime right now. He did the It's Alive movies,
mm-hmm.
among others. And he wrote many more films beyond the ones that he directed, including this one he wrote. Already kind of mentioned this was released straight to video in 96, apparently first in Greece. It had a roughly $2 million budget. Don't know. There's no box office since it was straight to video. Rotten Tomatoes score 56%.
That's surprising.
I'm not totally surprised. I think we might have a slight difference of opinion on this one. And an IMDb of 4.5 out of 10.
Sure. I can see that.
So, let's get into like the details of what happens in this film. Basically, it's kind of like a desert, like post-desert storm film. It's about like this. Like,
yep.
It starts with like you see these people find like this downed helicopter that actually went down a couple years ago, and there's a dead guy in it. But he comes back to life and kills the guys.
Okay, so. There's no explanation for that, right?
Like how he came back to life, right. Or just everything? Okay. No. Okay. No, I don't think so, right?
Okay, good. Magic. Yeah, I didn't know if I missed something or if maybe.
How did Jason come back to life? You know, I don't know.
That's fine. That makes sense. But it's just kind of out of nowhere that like this happens.
And I guess the important note on that is, like, this soldier who is our Uncle Sam, his name is Sam, like Sam Harper, I think.
Yep.
He was, like, his helicopter was shot down by friendly fire. It's kind of try to make some point about that, too, I guess. Then we cut to, at the time of when this came out, the modern day, and you're seeing, like, the main character of this film is, like, his nephew. This kid named Cody is like this little fascist creep. And he's like this kid is like, he loves his uncle. Like, he thinks of his uncle as this hero who died in the war. And the kid is like super patriotic to the point that it's creepy. Like I said, he's kind of like a little creep. And his mom is, right? Isn't his mom the sister of Uncle Sam? I think that's how it is.
No. Yes. No. No.
No?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No, it's fucking weird, man.
His mom is the... I want to say his mom is...
His mom is the sister.
Yeah.
His mom's the sister, and his aunt, who I kept thinking was his mom, but is not his mom.
It's kind of confusing. Yeah.
Then there, we'll get into, you know, the, what happens there. But yes.
Yeah. So then, since they discover his body, then, you know, his body comes home, and it's, I think it's staying in.
They move it to the kid's house, the sister's house, because
so, like, they're hosting like the service for it there, yes, or something. Yeah.
Like, oh, your house isn't big enough, and like, you're all alone, you don't want the body there, so we'll keep it at our house.
Eventually, dude comes back to life again, and it's kind of like, I think it's like triggered by some teens who are like fucking around in a graveyard, and right, like fucking, like they burn a flag.
It seems that way. It doesn't, like, that's when he comes back to life.
It's all the people who are unpatriotic, I think, kind of like pissed his corpse off so much.
Yeah, and that's kind of what has given him the power to come back and, you know, in this zombie soldier corpse thing.
Yeah, he comes back. He fucking, he kills some dude who's like, because like this takes place over like 4th of July weekend. He kills some dude who is like dressed up as Uncle Sam on stilts, like after the dude was like looking in some girl's window. And then,
so it's like,
I don't know why. I guess
he killed him because he was a perv. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't really sure. This wasn't one of the ones that burned the. He was just a pervy dude.
Maybe he just wanted the costume. Like, I would have been like. I mean, I guess he's got to get that costume because that's how you make this movie Uncle Sam, but it would have made more sense if he just was a soldier, like in a soldier uniform or whatever. Like,
right. Like, I mean, I understand why you do it that way. Like, because. Yes, his name is Sam. Yes, he is the uncle to the little boy, thus Uncle Sam. But like, everybody associates Uncle Sam with like that ridiculous, like patriotic looking outfit.
He kills a bunch of people, not even that many, in my opinion. He ends up killing the kid's teacher, who was like against the Vietnam War, and who like, and like one of the weirder scenes that were like. Kind of the better scenes, but also weird. Like, the kid, like, berates his own teacher, telling him that, like, he's, like, a fucking pussy because he didn't want to fight in Vietnam. But then, you know, so then Uncle Sam kills him. He kills a politician played by Robert Forster by shooting, yep. Like, he, like, ties him up like Jesus, basically, and fucking shoots fireworks at him.
Really weird.
Which, you know, I think that's, like, one of the goofier things. We'll kind of like run through the rest of the plot here, and then we'll get into like what we thought of everything. That's kind of it. Like, he just kills a bunch of things. There's this dude that shows up who I think was his mentor back in the day, who's played by Isaac Hayes, and yep. he's like, "Yo, your fucking uncle was fucking crazy and shit."
Best character in the movie.
Yeah. There's like this fucking blind kid who's like gets a psychic link.
What the fuck is that? Yeah, this blind kid who, I guess, off screen the year before, he had suffered an injury at the hands of like some kids that were playing with fireworks, and like that's why he went blind. And I don't know. They try to make a big deal out of that. It doesn't really make any sense.
I guess, you know, they're like grabbing for things that seem 4th of July related, and you know, shit like that. It ends up like with this big showdown back at the house, and. And I think pretty cool, like the part where they kill him or whatever. They like get this cannon and fucking. I think they shoot him twice with it.
Yep.
And the second time, he just goes like fucking flying back into the house, and it's hilarious. And actually, in the IMDb trivia, it said that the filmmakers shot that scene at 2 a.m. and they didn't warn the neighbors of the loud explosion that would happen in Laverne, California. So the city of Laverne, California banned all future movies from shooting there. So way to go, Uncle Sam. And then at the very end, like, I guess there's one thing, there's one like major plot point I kind of skipped over, which is like at some point you find out that like his uncle really wasn't this hero, that he was like really a piece of shit, and he used to like beat up his aunt, and you know, he's like abusive and shit, right?
Yep.
So like the kid is by the end supposed to be disillusioned with his uncle and all that patriotic shit. And like, so at the end, like the final scene is like our main character, the kid, like giving up all, like he takes all his like fucking G.I. Joes and shit, and like he's like burning it on the grill or something. Is he burning it on a grill? Something like that. He's like destroying them all.
Yeah.
But at the very last second, he turns and gives the camera an evil look. So you're like, oh, he's just playing. He still believes in the fucking, like, you know, patriotic bullshit that his uncle was selling. Did that kind of run down the plot there semi correctly?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Chris, I saw your. No, go ahead.
It takes over half the movie for this motherfucker to come back to life.
And yeah. Start killing
you. It is so slow up until that point.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I saw your review. I'm not going to give away what you rated it and stuff. But yeah, so what did you think? Slow? Boring?
It's very slow. Yeah, it's a little dull. Like, everything is, like, overly cartoony.
I think not enough. That's my problem.
Like, it doesn't... I think they're, like, cartoon characters, but they don't go too far. Like, they don't go far enough with it to the point where it's like, all right, this is, you know, this is a slasher film. In all essence, that's what this is. And the kills are terrible. They're boring and dull.
Yeah.
And they're cool concepts. Like, there's one where he wraps the cord of the flag around this one kid and starts hoisting it up. But, like, you don't really see anything. And I guess, it's a low-budget film.
That's no excuse.
It's just disappointing.
I'm looking at my notes. Like, what I wrote down is like, this is so close to being like a solid B movie. Like,
yes, I agree with that. Like, there's like a solid premise here.
Like, the idea of like we're gonna fucking poke fun at America and like and people's blind patriotism and kind of like take the bullshit out of it is a great idea for a B horror movie. Like, it's totally. I was like behind kind of like the plot points of this movie, but it's like it lacks. You can do that, and you can have a sense of humor. And like, this movie does not have like the sense of humor that it needs. It needed more absurdity. It needed one liners. There's no one liners in it.
No, none at all. And like, that's the thing, right? Like, so there's this guy, he brings the body of Sam back, and he's just like this cartoon sleazebag, but it's just
at face value. Like, it's not, right.
There's no depth to it at all. It's just, all right, like, we want you to play like a cartoon sleazebag. Can you do that? Yep, I can do that. And that's what he does. That's exactly what you get. And it's like, can you play like the cartoon perv dude? Like, yep, I can do the cartoon perv dude. Okay, now you're going to die. But like, it's going to be a mediocre death.
Yeah, it's like half the violence happens off screen. Like, I've seen people compare it to who reviewed it positively. I kind of like dug through the reviews on Letterboxd and stuff, and it's like the people who review it positively describe a movie that I didn't see. Where like this is a fun, like goofy '90s horror movie. Like, that's what I wanted. Like, I wanted it to be fucking Jack Frost, like that Christmas horror movie from the yep. 90s that's about a snowman that gets possessed by a killer. Like, that movie, it has the good kills, it has really stupid one-liners, like, it has fun with it. Like, in this movie, just, is weirdly serious.
It has the stupid in like the wrong places, like the blind clairvoyant.
Yeah, that feels like accidentally stupid. Like it's just
what the fuck is this? Like
it makes no sense.
It's like this. Where did this come from? It came out of nowhere. Like
oh, and by the way, there's a part where like they give the blind kid food and he grabs it, like where like he can see it. And the other thing that this lacks that Jack Frost had is the good gore and kills we kind of already touched on, which is like super disappointing to me because Lustig worked with Tom Savini on the movie Maniac. And I don't love the movie Maniac. It has its fans, but like one thing that movie's famous for is the scene where Tom Savini gets his head blown off with a shotgun. And it's like one of the most famous gore scenes in horror cinema. And it's like, dude, why didn't you call your old friend? Was Tom Savini busy that weekend when you shot this? Like, what the fuck? Instead, there's no, like, and often cuts away and, like, the kill, like, happens off screen, and then you'll see Uncle Sam holding somebody's head or something, like.
Yeah, I think that's where my biggest disappointment is, right? Yeah. Like, the idea of a killer dressed as this patriotic symbol of America murdering people at a 4th of July picnic in broad daylight is hysterical. It is an amazing concept that could be like a ton of fun. And instead it's like, we're going to give you like way too much bullshit around
it's slow and boring too. Yeah.
And then we're like, when we finally get moving, when we get to the kills, we're going to like set it up and then we're just going to pan away.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And then, you
except
know,
other politician. Like, they do leave him up there. Yeah.
And that's like closer to the goofy shit I wanted. And it should be like, I should mention, like, I do think that this has an awesome cast, like a surprisingly good cast in it. Like, people you, like, I did not expect to see in it. Like, I already mentioned Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
Fucking PJ Souls is in it.
Mm hmm.
Robert Forster, like, who was a great actor, and he would get the role of a lifetime 1 year later, and he played Max Cherry and Jackie Brown. Imagine going from working as the politician in this to playing Max Cherry and Jackie Brown 1 year later. Like, insane. Absolutely insane. But, like, that's what makes it so sad that they didn't... You have the talent, like you have the talent behind the camera, you have the talent writing the script, you have the talent in front of the camera, and you kind of delivered this like slow dud. It's maybe sad, Chris.
That's where I'm at with it. Yes, it is a slow dud.
Cool one concept, other
slow dud.
One other thing I want to note, and then I'll let you note whatever you want and get to ratings. At the very end, it says dedicated to Lucio, which I guess is Lucio Fulci, like the Italian horror director. And I guess the ending, I'm assuming the very end where the kid is burning his shit and he looks at the camera is like an homage to City of the Living Dead, which I haven't seen, but it seems weird to dedicate this movie to Lucio Fulci, but whatever, man. It didn't feel like an Italian horror film, like a giallo or whatever.
No, not at all. it felt like a bad American slasher film.
Yeah, and it's just like I could roll with that, but like, give me the slasher part, like Jesus Christ,
that. And I mean, we already said it. That's my biggest problem here is like, look, I can sit through, you want to set up, like, you know, it's an hour and a half film. You want to spend 45 minutes setting up the fun? Fine. Like, I'll sit around as long as the payoff's worth it.
Yeah.
But then we get to it and the payoff just, it's not there. It's so this cool premise, cool costume, and all the ideas behind it just don't pay off because they don't go for it in the end. Like, it's like they had the pieces of the puzzle and just didn't work it all out.
Yeah, I guess we're kind of closer than I thought we were going to be on it. But anyways, anything else you want to say? Give us a rating.
So like you mentioned my like one sentence write up that I put on Letterboxd, which I mean you could take that what I wrote in two ways because I believe I wrote like who thought this was a good idea.
Yeah.
And you could take that as like me directing that at Jeff. Why did you make me watch this? Or just like at the at Larry Cohen and Willa Mustang, like what did you guys like? What were you thinking when you made this? Because this is like you guys knew what was good. There's plenty of examples at this point. Like it's not like the beginning of the slasher genre. This is 1996. Like. We're reaching what this is Scream time, right?
You're reaching this is the fucking dead tail end of that fucking genre, right. And it got breathed back to life by Craven.
Like you could have done like a bullshit slasher film and done good with it.
And like you don't need a budget to do gore, dude. Like every fucking slasher movie is low budget. And some of them have amazing, amazing effects. So that's not an excuse. Like, I'm not buying, like, if that's what they tried with, I don't know what they have to say about it, but they probably don't talk about it much.
Yeah. There's probably a reason that it went straight to video. Like, $2 million actually seems like a decent budget. Like, considering, like,
I've seen way better on less.
Yes. And bigger name films with less budgets and better gore and better action, better cinematography even. So it's just weird that like, somebody gave these guys $2 million and this was the end result.
They got some good talent. I mean, they got some good like actors in it, but
yeah, that must have been where the money went because it didn't go to anything else in this film.
Rating.
I'm going to align pretty much with IMDb, a little bit lower than them, 4 out of 10.
Okay. I pretty much have agreed with everything we've just said, so I'm not going to add to it other than I didn't hate it because, again, it was so close to like, if you add the gore, I'm pretty much recommending this to people like every year, but it's not there. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
911, what are you reporting? Sorry, did you say something bad? Where is she bleeding from?
Good morning, Marilyn. I am in Claridge, the host of our annual July 4th party.
Oh my God!
This is the CDC.
We're in the middle of some kind of viral outbreak. It's eating their organs, intestines, liver, it goes for kidneys.
There's something wrong with the water.
This stuff has chemical steroid in it.
Hey, we got a situation over the 911 call center, and the system's about to go down. We're just overloaded with calls.
Stephanie, you're not answering your phone. I do not want you to get off that boat.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I know they shut down all the roads going into Clarity. Now I'm flying over the water here, and, there's just dead fish everywhere.
That's so big, I don't think he fits in this boat.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Never seen nothing like that.
And our second film is The Bay. From 2012, found footage horror film. I guess more accurately, like a faux documentary horror film.
Yeah. Yes.
About a like, I don't know, like a fucking
about a fake viral outbreak or
bacterial or biological. Outbreak. Like yeah. It's kind of convoluted.
Some sort of ecological disaster.
Yeah, that happens in Chesapeake Bay over 4th of July weekend. This one was directed by Barry Levinson, who did Rain Man, and he's got like 43 other directing credits. Like, he did Diner, he did The Natural, Sleepers. Like, he's done a bunch of movies. No other horror films besides The Bay. It was written by Michael Wallach and based on a story by Levinson and Wallach. Wallach has done basically nothing else besides this. And it was like an idea Levinson got, because he got approached to do a documentary about the Chesapeake Bay, and he actually watched some like fucking fish documentary about the bay, and he thought it was really good, but he thought that like if he made a documentary about it, like no one would care, and so he was like, let's make it like an entertaining, like let's make it a horror movie, right? And still nobody cared.
Pretty much.
It had a budget of $2 million, just like our first film. It was released November 2nd of 2012, and it did a box office of $1.6 million. So, like I said, nobody cared.
No one saw it.
I never heard of this movie. I found it after I landed on the idea of, okay, let's do a 4th of July theme. I had always wanted to see Uncle Sam because I remember seeing it on the shelf in Blockbuster. And so then I started Googling other horror movies that somehow have to do with 4th of July. So that's how I found it. I'd never heard of it before. You thought you had heard of it, but you'd never seen it, right?
So I believe I have seen it before, but I didn't remember
erased from your memory.
Anything that's about great. It. Sorry.
It has a Rotten Tomato score of 77%, and on IMDb, it sits at 5.6. The story for this one, we could run through probably quicker than Uncle Sam, because in a way, it's like, there's not much of a story. Like, it starts with, like, news footage of, like, mass fish and bird deaths, which I don't know if that footage is real or not. It could be. I don't know. That shit, type of shit happens.
It does. I don't remember anything like that.
You're closer to that area, right?
Yeah, like, I can get to the Chesapeake Bay in 3 hours. Like,
okay.
I've been to the bay. Like, I do not remember anything like that.
After it shows us this stuff, we have like this narrator who sometimes will like, it'll cut to her like talking to the camera. It's like this news reporter named Donna Thompson, and you know, she was like a amateur reporter at the time, and she was out at this like 4th of July festival, like just catching footage and interviewing people when this like crazy shit starts going down.
Yep.
And she lets us know that, you know, we're about to see a story that the news didn't cover. And you get some info about like, there was like this big chicken farming plant.
Yes.
Near the bay, and it's dumping chicken shit into the bay.
And so that is moderately accurate. Like, I don't know if they're dumping chicken shit into the Chesapeake Bay or the ocean, but there are, on my way, like if I'm going to Chesapeake Bay, down to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, there are tons of chicken farms, like big ones, like Purdue. Yeah. Tyson along Route 13 down to into Maryland and Virginia. So like that is an accurate depiction of that. Yeah.
So you get the sense here that like, you know, Levinson had all this info from him doing the research, and then like he's like, all right, like let's turn this into a horror movie. You know, like it's like based on reality, and it has like a, you know, environmental message, right?
Yep.
And there's like, and that's kind of the thing though, like it's kind of a problem with it, I think, is like that's like kind of all this movie is. Like there's no real like main character, like there's no protagonist really. I mean, I guess maybe that reporter kinda, and then like there's like this couple who is like coming in to visit like one of their parents. Like they're like on a boat coming from somewhere else.
Yep.
But it's like, it's just like, is like this like collage of all this footage that this reporter's gathered, and she like narrates over it as like these like horrific things start happening. So it's like, you know, you see people drinking the water and getting dropped in like the dunk tank and stuff like that at this festival. And like people start like breaking out with these like horrible rashes and blisters and bleeding from their mouths. People start to get to like are found dead. There's footage of this guy like with a fish that he caught, and then all of a sudden this critter comes out of the fish, like, runs up his arm.
Fucking terrifying.
Yeah, you said to me that part made you jump. Actually, like I got it.
It's like, yeah. I was like, oh, like, all right, he's holding it, like, he's going to look inside, and because, like, they've been showing throughout the film these scientists that have been, like, looking at fish that have been dying, and they're kind of dissecting them on this boat, lab boat, and there's, like, these little, like, larva-type things inside, and this is the first time you see a big one.
Like a big, and my big one, like how would you describe the size of it? It's like
maybe just a few inches, like
but it's like, you know, inches. It's like big compared to what it should be. It should be like microscopic, right?
Yeah, so like they explain what they are, which I think is another cool thing here. Like it's a real thing,
right?
Yeah, isopods are real. They're like generally you would think of them as like lice, right? Like super tiny. They blow them up a little bit here, like when they're like the larva, to make them, you know, more a little visible for us. But then they show these ones that are bigger, and then they talk about like other ones that I don't know if it's true. Like that's the thing. Like they play with reality in a way that maybe it is believable that there was one that was like big enough that it like tried to bore its way through the moon.
I wanted to look that up and I forgot. Yeah, they show one that's like 2 feet long, and that brings up a problem that we'll get to in a minute, in my opinion. But it like mixes in, like we're getting footage from the July 4th event, and then you're getting other footage that she assembled and found that was like in the weeks leading up to it, like where these scientists are discovering, oh, something might not be right here. It's kind of like suggested that like it's like there's like the chickens are being given this growth hormone, and maybe that's playing into why you're getting these giant mutated fucking isopods. And then also that there was like radiation in the water too. Like it kind of just like throws in everything that sounds bad with the environment. Yeah. And it's like, that's why you have these giant isopods. But I guess like, I'll just say it right out. Like when you tell me that there was a 2-foot isopod, I kind of expect to see that at some point in the movie, and the biggest ones we ever get are like the ones that are like,
they're,
you know, 4 inches long or whatever, you know.
And I think that that's a problem because obviously, like, there are bigger ones because they are, you know, we see like this girl falls into the water at one point, and then her boyfriend like tries to save her, and he falls in, and both bodies disappear. You never see what attacks them, but it is implied.
Huge hole in their gut, like
Like, it's implied that they're these big things attacking them, but you never see it because, you know, found footage isn't going to focus on like that. It's going to be the crazy kind of like, oh, the boyfriend's trying to get the girl, and then he drops the camera, and
we just
find camera shots.
I just feel like you could have paid us off more at the end by showing some of that stuff, like. Like at the end, all of a sudden, there's huge, like, you know, like the town does go batshit insane, anyways. But like, go really batshit, give like go all, like let's crank this up to 11. What like?
Let's have holding one, back. Let's have one like crawling down the fucking street or something.
Yeah, dude. Like that's I kind of like because especially since you allude to ones that big, I'm like, where were they? Like that was a problem for me. But like, I'm gonna give this movie some credit, like. It didn't. That jump scare didn't get me because I was like taking a note at the moment. But the movie, like, it has some really good gore effects and some like really good gross out stuff, and it's like kind of effective and scary. Like, it's relatively scary for what it is. Like, there's two parts that like you know, I don't even have to look at my notes. I remember, like, really stuck out in my head. Like, there's one part where you see footage of where I think a cop's going to this house, and you have audio from the cops in the house, and you're just, like, staring at the outside of the house. And you hear the people inside the house just, like, screaming and crying. And they're like, oh, it's eating him, it's eating him. Like, oh, my God. Like, you know, like, it gave me a chill. Like, that part, I was like, oh, damn, dude, that's fucking freaky. There's go ahead.
Like, that's, like, that is good storytelling. That's good horror right there. Where, like, where, you know, in our last film where, you know, we're talking about, like, they cut away and don't show stuff. Like, this is, like, the audio was chilling enough. You didn't need to show anything. It just works. Like, there's a time where stuff doesn't need to be seen because you're relaying other sensory, you know, sensory bits for people to latch onto. And this does it pretty effectively in some cases. But then they do show stuff. Like, there is, like, you know, you see some people with, like, stuff crawling under their skin. And
dude, there's, like, a shot of a lady floating in her pool and she's dead. Like, she's, like, on a float in her pool and she's dead, and you see, like, one of the isopods just crawl out of her stomach. It's like, oh. And probably my favorite, like, gross out gag or whatever like that is, like, there's a part near the end where they find a body around behind this fountain, and the body's just laying there, and the whole fucking face is, like, eaten off, like, you know, had been destroyed by these things. And they're, like, looking in, they're, like, zooming on the guy, and the guy's eyes start moving, like, the guy's still alive. I was like, oh, my God, dude. That was really good. And so, like, I don't know, like, again, like, I think my problems with this are, like, it doesn't really have characters or a story, and, like, it doesn't really build up, like, the ending is this one couple shows up at the island and everything has gone to shit, you know? And they, like, quickly succumb to, like...
And that's always one of my problems. Like, I enjoy found footage probably
a little more. It's hard to end. I like it, too. I like, I don't love the genre, but I like it more than most people.
But one of my problems with it is that at some point you put the camera down.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes so outlandish that we're still holding the camera. Like, you're here with your husband. The whole town has gone to shit. And you have a baby with you, yet you're still recording everything. Like, I get, like, you might want to record some stuff to be like, hey, we escaped. Like, this was crazy. Here's some, like, video proof of it. Like, they never put the fucking camera down.
Yeah. And then they, like, at the very, like, so then it's just, like, it peters out, it ends, and it's just, like, the ending is just, like, they just tell you, oh, officials, like, covered it up, and they killed these things by, like, pouring a bunch of, I think, chlorine into the bay.
Yeah, like, they just basically killed everything.
Yeah, and you don't see any of that, like, it just says, like, that's what happened, and so...
But it's, like, and that doesn't necessarily work for me. It's kind of similar to the crazies, like, last time, where it was like, oh, like, hey, we're gonna just wipe this town off the map. Like, everybody in this fucking town is dead because they drank the water that was infected with these isopods. How do you contain that? Like, not everybody lives there. It's obvious. Like, one of the characters of this film is a family that comes in from out of town on their boat to visit family members. Like, people don't all live there, and they're talking to people on the internet at that point. Like, they have a Skype call with a friend.
Yeah, it's like, how do you
cover that up? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Within the film, they say I think about 800 people die, like, and that's even before the end of it. So, like,
possible, you can't cover that up. It's not. Yeah. It's one thing where the crazies from 1973, you maybe are able to pass it off as like, hey, you know, technology hasn't advanced. Like, you know, we can keep it quiet in such a way. But this is modern. This is, you know, 8 years ago. The internet has existed for years at this point. It's less believable.
See, I think what movies got wrong is there would just be people who refuse to believe things. Like, it you know. The internet is not just a way of spreading truth. It's a way of spreading fucking bullshit conspiracy theory. Yeah. And so, like, there's always going to be people hey, we don't have to wear the mask. Like, the fucking virus is a hoax or the, you know, whatever. And that's another thing I thought about while watching this. I'm like, we picked another fucking virus movie. Like, basically.
No way, yeah.
And it reminded me of this live stream I watched with Joe Bob before the new season of Last Drive-In began. And there were people asking him, like, what is, like, what do you think is, like, a good horror movie that, like, touches on what we're going through now? And Joe Bob was like, he started thinking of stuff, and he was, like, right off the top of his head, he's like, Contagion. And I think Contagion is, like, a really good one. And he's like, but honestly, when you think about it, I'd say about 80% of horror movies are, like, a virus film in some way. I'm like, we're already running into it with this kind of stuff.
It's true. Like, yeah. Like even the most basic shit, like vampires and werewolves.
It's a virus, yeah. It's like
in some way, yep.
Yeah, it's an affliction, you know. But, yeah, like, I don't know. So, I think that this movie, I think the found footage aspect gives it strength at parts, like, you know, some of the stuff we mentioned. But I also think it allowed them to make a movie where it was all about the environmental message. And, like, it wasn't really, there aren't, like, really characters in this, you know? Like, yeah, no. You'd be like, okay, I've seen these cops a couple times. I kind of know who they are now, and I see how their demise happens. But it's just like, there's not really a character, there's not really a story. It's just a way of talking about how, like, pollution is bad, and look at all this crazy shit that happened. I think that's a weakness. And again, I just think that since he went the full horror movie route, and, like, this isn't Contagion, like, Contagion is very realistic. Why are we not getting the 2-foot fucking monsters going around? Like, you know.
And I think maybe that ties back to the $2 million budget he had.
I guess. I mean, everything looks good here, though.
It does. Like, and I think, like, he definitely did. They spent some money on some CG to get those things looking good.
Maybe it would have been harder to do a bigger one, you know, like, make it look real.
And while we have kind of picked apart, you know, where it doesn't necessarily align with reality, I do think that maybe on some level he was maybe thinking, all right, I'm not going to show these because I want it to be believable in some way. All right, but you already let the cat out of the bag when you talk about the 2-foot one and you talk about the ones that are able to eat people, like,
yeah, I think maybe it was like like he's trying to do less is more, but then, like, you still, like, delivered all the other goods we want.
Yeah.
So it just feels like you stopped short of going all the way.
Yep.
At that point. Yeah.
And maybe that comes down to he's not really a hard.
Yeah. He did a better job with this than Lustig did, though, with Uncle Sam. Yep. So fuck, I don't know. Final thoughts and rating, Chris. Unless there's other things we missed.
I don't think there is. Like, I mean, there's. You know, we talked about the gore scenes, and I think there's a couple good ones that, you know, maybe we haven't talked about. There's one in an antique store where the couple they have to kill the dad, the husband character, because he's obviously been infected.
Yeah,
and he has his, like, wife, like, stab him with something in the chest, but as she's getting ready to do it, like, out of his neck where the lesion had started to form comes one of those fucking things.
It was fantastic. Yeah,
the doctor that is kind of chronicling, he knows he's gonna die, so he's chronicling how
that's pretty good
progresses, like, that. There's good shots here.
The phone call he has with CDC where he's like, so what should I do now? And they're like, you should leave. I was like, damn.
Yeah. And that was another thing. Like, this came up a little bit when we watched The Crazies last month, but this film, I think, does a good job of showing, like, how bureaucracy works a little bit. Like, where
we're like who was on top of this? And they're like, it got forwarded to this department. You know what I mean? Like, that whole, like, conversation. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, I like that. Like, I like that, like, CDC's like, oh, what the fuck
is going on? Everyone passed the buck. Yeah.
And what one other thing. So, like, when I started watching it, you were actually watching it right about the same time.
Yep.
And you were a little bit ahead of me, and I had just got it to this point where they're showing this crab eating contest, and everyone starts getting sick.
Stand by me.
The vomiting is fucking hysterical.
It reminded me of the Stand By Me scene where they tells the story about the vomiting or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where it's like that is maybe the most outlandish looking thing in the whole film, because it's like you're seeing like gallons of fucking liquid come out of these people. But it was pretty funny. I thought that was fun and enjoyable. I thought it was fun. I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10. It's not great, but it is, you know, it's well worth the 84 minutes that it takes to get through.
Yeah, I think that this is a solid rental. Like, this is I'm not gonna go so far as to say this is a hidden gem, but it's a solid rental if you're a horror fan and you haven't seen it. Like, it's, like we said, it delivers some scares. It delivers some good gore. It's fast. It's like under 90 minutes. And despite all the problems I have with both of these films, I would say this would make a good double feature for 4th of July. Like, if you haven't, like, if you don't want to watch fucking Jaws for the 8 millionth time, this would be kind of fun to do these two. And I'm giving the same score as you. I think for the first time, Chris, we're going 6 out of 10.
All right.
So those are our two films for this week, or this month, Uncle Sam in the Bay. Chris, what are we doing next month?
So when you said that we were going to do 4th of July for this, so you said that was your theme, my brain instantly went to, obviously, Jaws, right?
Oh, no.
And then I thought you were pairing it with a different... Honestly, coming into the episode, the last month's episode, I thought you were going to say Jaws and then another film, and you didn't pick either of them. You picked these two, which was, you know, maybe different. I wanted to do that other film that I thought about, and so I have, these aren't as spread apart as we generally have been doing. Only 9 years between the two films.
That's far enough.
Yeah. But they are both directed by Alexander Aja. The first is Piranha 3D.
Okay.
We'll just watch Piranha 3 because nobody's going to watch it in fucking 3D now. And I honestly thought that was where you were going. I thought you were pairing that with Jaws. And I was like, that would be fucking hysterical. And the other film is a film we reviewed on Movie Dudes last year, Crawl, which is the alligator film. So it's a pair of underwater monster movies.
Nice, nice.
Directed by the same director.
I think I've seen both of these. In fact, I think I've seen Crawl a couple times, and I'm excited to dig into them again for kind of a good summer kind of watery creature themed episode again.
Yeah. I wanted to continue. It will still be summer, August. And, I've been wanting to go back to Piranha for a while now.
Understandably.
I remember that being a ton of fun. I've not seen it in quite some time. You know, Crawl seemed to be a good pair with it as Aja is the director of that as well. So,
I like it, and I think there were two modern Piranhas, right? But this is like the first one of those, right?
Piranha 3D, which was the first of those, and then they did 3DD, which is a terrible fucking movie, not directed by Aja. All
right, so yeah, I think I've seen the Aja one, and I remember enjoying it, so it'll be fun to revisit.
All right,
so we'll be back next month with fucking Piranha 3D and what was Crawl. The one? Crawl. Crawl. Yeah. And Crawl. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next month.